O-R-G. We are authentic local radio made possible by you, our listener members. It is time now for the Great Northern Radio Show.
The Great Northern Radio Show is broadcast before a live studio audience.
Live from Larson's Barn in McGregor, Minnesota, this is the Great Northern Radio Show. I'm Aaron Brown. We travel the back roads of northern Minnesota sharing stories, comedy, and music about modern life off the beaten path. We're not kidding. This is a barn. For decades, Larson's Barn stored horses, hay, and farm equipment. Since 1971, it's been a dance hall and home to many Saturday night polka parties. Tonight, we're packed into the joint like livestock, and we're going to have some fun on the farm. The Great Northern Radio Show is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, along with the Blandin Foundation, the IRRB Arts and Tourism Grant Program, and the Sheila Holton Memorial Fund. Tonight, we'll have original comedy and music, including some new folk tales by Teague Alexi. Our Great Northern Radio players tonight include Sarah Breeze, Jason and Louisa Skorich, CJ Anderson and Lauren Nickish on sound effects. Musical guests include a wonderful young bluegrass band, Porcupine Creek, a McGregor boy done good, singer-songwriter Timmy House. Lots of guests and surprises. Up next, our old friends and one of the hottest acts on the Minnesota scene. Their new album is American Shuffle. Say hello to the hobo nephews of Uncle Frank.
Well, I'm lost out on the run, but I'll be back soon. Riding through the night by the light of the moon. Running in the cold and the rain and snow. Holding on to the dream, I never let it go. Oh no, I'll never let it go, no. Well, my mama told me I can do it if I want to. Tell me it's a waste, that it's a crazy stunt. You're lying and you're crying, it won't do you no good. I'm taking my peace like I know I should. Like I know I should. And now I'm running, singing in a traveling show. Oh yeah, I'm running, singing in a traveling show. Let's go. Oh. Well, it's been a long time coming, been a long time gone. Probably not the person that you know from the song now. Time passing hard like a highway mile. Lost touch with the words, I lost touch with the style. I lost touch with the style, yeah. So won't you take me to the place I know from way back when? Show me the way to do it again. Miss you so much, you know it's been 5 years. Miss you so much, I cried salty tears. I cried salty tears, no. But now I'm running, singing in a traveling show. Oh yeah, I'm running, singing in a traveling show, oh no. West past Durango, running from the law in a traveling show. Two sets a night, six nights a week. You know we make a little money, but we never sleep. You know we never sleep, no. Cause we're just running, singing in a traveling show. And take the money, singing in a traveling show. Yeah, we're just running, singing in a traveling show. Oh yeah, I'm running, singing in a traveling show. Let's go.
of Uncle Frank. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. Our show is made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Also, the members and business supporters of Northern Community Radio. Thanks to everybody who participated in the last fundraiser. If you haven't yet, consider becoming a member of Northern Community Radio today. We are live from Larson's Barn on the idyllic shores of scenic Rat Lake. Now, Rat Lake suffers from a rough name, but it is a lovely lake, I assure you.
I imagine it's muskrats you're referring to.
Yeah, it must be Muskrat Lake. Yeah, right.
New York street rats.
These are northern Minnesota rats, and their lake is beautiful. It's located about a dozen miles northwest of the small town of McGregor in the Aiken County, Minnesota. Brainerd's an hour southwest of here. You got Duluth, an hour and a half east. Grand Rapids and the Iron Range, a couple hours north. Point is, we're in the middle of northern Minnesota, and in a place that requires some conscious effort to reach. You have to make a conscious decision to drive to Larson's Barn. You have to say, I am getting in the car or the truck, and I am going to Larson's Barn. And that's what a lot of lovely folks have done right here tonight. Thank you for joining us, everybody. I have to describe the place. It is a barn, and we are looking up at some beautiful brown rafters and ceiling fans. Bright, decorative lights. Of course, this venue is now used primarily for weddings and receptions and events, and so we see lots of decorations. Some are those Chinese lanterns? Is that what those are called? They're paper balls. But I didn't want to start with paper balls. I wanted to go with something more official. They're beautiful in the light. And we have some old-fashioned benches set up on hardwood floors here for people to sit on. And that is where we are today. Joining me on stage is someone who knows a lot more about the barn and the paper balls than I do. And that's Kathy Larson, the proprietor of Larson's Barn. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Aaron. How are you doing?
Real good. Say hi to Kathy. So, Kathy, we've been talking about doing this show for months now, and I'm glad we finally have it all worked out. And tell me a little bit about the history of this barn. How did this get to be a place to have music and fun?
Well, we think the barn was built in about 1938, and Lola and Alice Larson came up in about 1971 and started doing barn dances, primarily old-time music, and it wasn't uncommon to have 300 people up here on a Saturday night.
And it was every...
Most probably underage.
Yeah. And it was every Saturday, wasn't it?
Or every Saturday night. They'd come up from Robbinsdale, stay downstairs in the lodging, and then come up here and set up a makeshift bar and serve beer and...
Pretty cool.
A lot of camping.
And so how did you get involved, and why do you keep running this place?
Well, we were living down in North Minneapolis, and we just decided it was time to transfer up here and take over the barn, keep it going. We've done a lot of music festivals. We did about 30 polka fests, and just thought it was so unique and so special that we needed to keep it going.
Awesome. And right now it's mostly wedding receptions, you'd say, or?
Primarily wedding receptions. We'll do family events.
Okay.
And anybody that wants to come up and do a fest is more than welcome
to. Well, larsonsbarn.com.
We've done a lot of fests, so we've got some experience with that. Things just started getting just a little too expensive to keep it going for just a Saturday night dance.
Yeah, sure.
So we just kind of open it up.
I believe there are hunters staying downstairs tonight.
We do have deer hunters downstairs. Hopefully nobody's gotten anything yet.
The funny thing is, during the setup for our show today, there were people actively walking around hunting and
Blaze Orange,
Blaze Orange. They came in to watch rehearsal for a while. So
good.
Yeah, we've been at one at peace with the hunting crowd today.
I know there's a bunch of cows right down the road. So
there you go. So it all fits in. Tell me, you've been here a while. What do you love most about Aiken County, McGregor area? What do you love about this place? So
everything that it has to offer. You know, it's a lot low-key as far as, you know, being in Minneapolis. I'm from South Minneapolis, but it just offers so much. I mean, the sports, the activities, the parks, everything.
Yeah.
The beauty.
Absolutely. And of course, Larson's Barn, which you helped bring to us. So thanks, Kathy Larson. Thanks so much for being
with
us.
Thank you.
Awesome. Joining us now, of course, that's Kathy Larson, owner of Larson's Barn. We're here all night at the barn, so settle in. Joining us now, a fantastic young bluegrass and gospel band from northern Minnesota. Hello, Porcupine Creek.
Lightning flashing, heard the thunder roar, out on the dark side of town. My baby's with a new love, the wind is howling on, I should be with her right now. Cold sheets of rain pouring down, is my love safe and warm? When she's the rain pouring down. Afraid of storms, she needs someone to ease her mind. Someone who will hold her, keep her safe and warm. Someone who is patient and kind. Cold sheets of rain pouring down, is my love safe and warm? Where is she sleeping now? She's the rain pouring down.
Porcupine Creek. Fantastic. Well, this is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. We are live from Larson's Barn in McGregor, Minnesota. For 4 years, our program has traveled around small towns in Minnesota, but this is the first time we broadcast from a real barn. And I was tempted to make the whole thing a tribute to the old show, Hee Haw. But I don't think I could pull that off for 2 hours. That's a bit much. Hee-haw itself was a bit much. So, a show in Aiken County needs a little less hee-haw and a little more, oh, yeah. It's been brought to my attention recently that I have a Minnesota accent. It's true. I didn't believe it either, but... Last month, I was touring around with a Swedish journalist who was here researching northern Minnesota. His English was better than most of my relatives' English, by the way, but he concluded the talk that we were having by asking me about my accent. Where did it come from? Well, you know, pretty much from everyone I know, you know, everywhere around. He said, and I don't think, he wasn't being disrespectful, but he said, you know, it sounds like a drunk Swede learning how to speak English. To which I really could only reply, yeah, that's pretty much how it happened. How many generations of drunk Swedes does it take before you start to sound that way all the time? The answer is 4. We think. Most families lost track in the 70s. I don't have to tell folks here in Aiken County this, of course. 100 years ago, this area was settled by a huge population of Swedish American immigrants. They brought their language with them and they melted it on the stove with 1.5 pounds of English. The Scandinavians also imported their food, which is mostly terrible fish recipes, their cold weather tolerance, which we are all thankful for, and their emotional distance from the ones they love most. Most second or third generation Swedish Americans I know speak with glowing reverence for something called Swedish egg coffee. Now, the premise here is to make coffee in one of those like pots, but to put a raw egg or two in the grounds. It flavors the coffee, they say, and then, of course, the grounds keep the egg keeps the grounds at the bottom of the pot for the perfect pour. I've tasted Swedish egg coffee, and I must say it tastes like coffee. To me, it's all right. Anyway, the reason I bring this up is one time I was talking about this with a person from Sweden, and I thought I was going to make a witty reference, like an in reference to the fact that the Swedish people put eggs in their coffee. And when I said this, she reacted as though I had casually taken a pair of underwear out of my pocket and placed them on my head. So get this. People in Sweden don't put eggs in their coffee. At least not anymore, if they ever did. It's moments like this that we're reminded that when people came to America from other parts of the world, there was the possibility that their neighbors back in the old country might have been relieved. Can you believe it? The people who put eggs in their coffee finally left. Now let's implement a full year of paid maternity leave. I went to school for journalism and have worked in broadcasting off and on since I was 16. Of course, in broadcasting, they try to pound the regional accents out of you. Everyone needs to talk like they're from Omaha. Modulate, resonate, articulate. But then you move back home to work at the paper, see, and then they put you on the Northern Community Radio and to talk about the mines and such things, and pretty soon you're right back where you started. They have done studies, and it turns out that the Minnesota accent is widely believed to be the least sexy accent in America. But it's also the most trustworthy. Geez, who needs a study? I mean, any girl from my high school could have told you that. I don't mind, though. I managed to get married and have kids anyway. Most of us do, somehow. And so it goes on down the generations. So in honor of all those Swedes who rode in on the Northern Pacific all those years ago, let's welcome back our friends, the hobo nephews of Uncle Frank.
You follow me, you follow me, around and around. Wondering if that old Namaji River still rolls. be the White Iron Band on the radio. And there's a little place in the woods where I long to be. It means so very much to me. Me and Diego going there. How I wish, how I wish to be on a northern train.
Nephews of Uncle Frank. Well, this is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. We are broadcasting live from Larson's Barn in McGregor, Minnesota. That was the Hobo Nephews of Uncle Frank, Teague and Ian Alexi, a pair of New Jersey brothers who somehow found their way here to Northern Minnesota. Now, both of them have accomplished solo careers as well. And just this fall, Teague Alexi released a book, The New Folklore, Lyrical Tales for Thinkers and Dreamers. It's a collection of brand new folk tales written for reading aloud or to be played with music, which is exactly what's about to happen. Narrating his story, The New Tune of Elijah Swoon, with help from the Great Northern Radio Players and his brother Ian and our piano player Nikolai Koivunen. And here's Teague Alexi.
Elijah Swoon sang a tune on a Saturday afternoon, wearing his Sunday best. His way down to the town to show everyone around how he could pull his heart out of his own chest. He saw a smiling man with an old tin can that read,
"Good advice, tenfold your money's worth."
The man had shoes few feet could use, standing and whistling, "I mean you." And Elijah walked on by. Elijah put himself up on display, but the people had doubts if the heart in his hand had come from within his own chest. By hook, by crook, everywhere you look, honest covers on crooked books. So many hearts sold for so much less.
There's no gloss or shine on this heart of mine, no pine tar, no turpentine.
Elijah hung his head and pointed his shoes towards home.
I thought by showing this heart of mine, maybe some would take the time for a good long look at their own.
Elijah swooned. Dressed in gloom, dropped a dime in the man's tin can. The man gently wiped the spit from his lip.
In time, you'll find peace of mind with those who drag their hearts behind and others who follow theirs off the side of a cliff. This world is made of you and me and him and her and on, but you can't force love on anyone. Keep your heart inside your ribs, protect it as the jewel it is. Reveal it through each breath of your lungs.
Elijah grinned, so benevolent, turned his heel and off he went, barefoot, whistling "I Mean You." If you're in town at night and need advice,
Spare change is a small price for the man with the old tin can and Sunday shoes.
Teague Alexi. His book is The New Folklore, Lyrical Tales for Thinkers and Dreamers. We'll have another story later on in the show. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm excited to welcome another musical guest to our show. Listeners might remember him from our program in Grand Marais last summer. Our producers were holed up in a bar and noticed him playing, and soon enough, he was right there in the show and practically stole it away. Well, folks here in McGregor already know him. He's from about 5 minutes from here. Here's Timmy House. Say hi, folks.
Thank you so much, everybody. Good evening. McGregor was a nice little town to grow up in. This time of year, we did a lot of duck hunting, and back in those days, you could take your shotgun right into school and put it in your locker. Wear your waders the first hour. A little bit later, around Thanksgiving, if there was enough ice, my cousin and I would ice fish crappies. I'd tie a rope around his waist. He was lighter than I was. We'd both wear life jackets and go out and he'd test the ice. Anyways, it was a great place to grow up. My prom was actually in this barn.
Oh, yeah?
There's a song called Time Goes By.
Sweet little sister, surprise, surprise. You're still shining like the first sunrise. Bringing back sceneries in my mind. Of our saucer eyes and suitcase lives, a daytime wine and nighttime sighs, and standing in the sunshine. Watching as the wind blows time across my soul. It's ever changing, shifting tides, the stories left untold. That wheel keeps turning round, round without slowing down. Spin up. Lifetime learning. Don't look back, just turn back around. Time goes by with a smile, and I'm so glad you could stay a while. Change a thing. No, time's the world's deepest mystery, before and after, with a brief in between. You can't fight the changes, and you just can't grab it. The more you gather, the more you've seen. Lifetime learning. Don't look back, just turn back around. Time goes by with a smile, and I'm so glad you could stay a while. Change a thing. No, no, no. Sweet little sister. Oh,
song going by, going by my mind. Time keeps on going by, going by my mind.
Timmy House. Now, Timmy, I got to ask, you were a merc.
I was a merc, indeed.
Can you tell, what is a merc?
A merc is a god of speed.
A god of speed.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's Roman or Greek.
Anybody?
Greek? Is it Greek? Okay.
Roman. I think yeah,
right?
Someone in the
we
audience
all agree.
Is Roman.
Mercury.
So. Mercury is the god of speed. Well, I bring that up for a reason. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. We're live from Larson's Barn in the middle of Aiken County near McGregor, Minnesota. Good evening. I'm Aaron Brown, and we are in the midst of a lot of seasons right now. Holiday season coming, deer season going on right now, of course, and of course, right in the middle of football season. And the McGregor Mercs had a season, and how did the Mercs do this year? No, I didn't check it out. No, nope. I'm gonna say maybe only okay. gods of speed are well. You gotta be big too. Football. We're in the midst of a lot of seasons, and these parts, folks might remember some pretty good teams from the McGregor Mercs or the Aiken Gobblers, or the rivals next door. Oh, we got some gobblers here. But not many folks know that there was a semi-pro team here years ago called the Tamarack Larches. Now, the Larches were the only team in the history of the Midwestern made-up football league to start a 68-year-old quarterback named Rusty Butters. It was a long time ago. No one here, I don't think, would remember it. But for some, for those who were there, it was just like yesterday. Imagine a small town gathering for a football game out at the old field.
Halftime. Huddling, boys, huddling. What's going on out there? You're slow, you're sloppy, you're missing blocks. Might I remind you that our quarterback is a senior citizen? If he falls, he might not get up. I mean, what do you have to say for yourself, Meathead Jones?
Meathead, see no point. If old man break, we have no hope. If old man live, how long can we count on him? This 1920s, maybe 1950s, who knows? Medical science not so good with heart health.
I think what Meathead is trying to say is that we want a championship, and it's hard to build a championship team around a quarterback who creaks when he walks.
Oh, come on, T-Rex Jenkins. He does not creak when he walks. Quiet, 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 because here he comes.
Well, well, boys, I might be old, but I don't quit. I can't believe what I'm hearing. And yes, I heard everything. My leather helmet is actually an enormous hearing aid. Anything you have to say to me, you should say to my face. I'm talking to you, T-Rex.
Can you blame us? Rusty, we're down 17 points, and if we don't win this game, we're out of the playoffs again. It's time for a young arm, and I think we all know who that is.
Are you referring to yourself, T-Rex?
You bet. I'm quick. I'm agile. I've got the smarts. This is my time.
You do realize that the reason we all call you T-Rex is that because you have a congenital birth defect that made your arms 11 inches long, right? That's why you're the kicker.
These pipes might be small, but they're pure steel. Check it out. Ah! Ah!
Ah, put tiny arms away. Me feel uncomfortable. Ah!
Listen, boys. I know you all think I'm too old to lead this team. Sure, I might creak, but I hold. I was throwing pigskins through wagon wheels before football even existed. I just really hated pigs. I might not be as fast as I used to be, but I wake up early and get there first. Sure, when I get tackled, I pee a little. But that just means that after a couple tackles, they leave me alone. I have underwear older than all of you, and I'm not sure which smells worse. But I know you can catch and block and run better than my underwear, as far as I know. What do you say? Are you with me?
Old man! Old man, make me feel again! Go, Rusty, go! I will block for you like my mom on my dates!
Thanks, Meathead. You need to work on boundaries with your mother.
Yes, me think so.
But that's not for today. T-Rex, you with us?
Throw a touchdown, Rusty. I'll kick your extra points.
Great. Coach, anything to add?
No, Rusty. You've rendered my presence here completely unnecessary. And yet I'm the only one getting paid right now. Score!
So, let's go, boys.
And at the end of the night, when all was said and done, Rusty Butters led the Tamarack Larches to a stirring victory won in the closing seconds with a T-Rex Jenkins field goal because Rusty didn't want to drive home in the dark. Ladies and gentlemen, with a football-inspired story song, here's the Hobo Nephews of Uncle Frank.
Bright shining lights, the field and the blood. You carry their burdens, you carry their love. And you always get up when you knock to the floor. They can't break your spirit, old number four. Now there's rhyme and there's reason all throughout time. Hope in the stories and the legends we find. Yeah, there's heroes and myth, mystic and lore. There's never been nothing like old number four.
Oh no.
Now the battle ahead is brutal and rough. Getting older, my friend, though I know that you're tough. You've been battered and beaten and bruised to the core. They can't break your spirit, old number four. Now the screams from the crowd rattle your ears. They throw their gestures like stones and like spears. Well, you gave all you had, then you gave more. They'll never forget you, old number four. No, they'll never forget you, old number four. Hey!
The Hobo Nephews of Uncle Frank. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. We are broadcasting live from Larson's Barn near McGregor, Minnesota. Not terribly far from a place called Savannah Portage State Park. And we're joined now on stage by a man many Northern Community Radio listeners might know as a poet and writer and on-air personality. It's Robert Jevney. Say hello.
Hey, Aaron.
Hi, Robert. Robert is also a works at Savannah Portage State Park right here in this area. And so, Robert, tell me, what is Savannah Portage State Park? Describe that for me.
It is the third largest state park by acreage at 15,000 acres. A lot of people don't know that. Two-thirds of it is the Floodwood Bog, so it's a little inaccessible, but nevertheless. There's 64 campsites, some backpack sites, canoeing sites. There's over 20 miles of hiking and snowshoeing. It's a hub for snowmobiling. It's a great recreational area. There's four lakes inside the park that are good for pan fishing and some northern.
Awesome. And so tell me, what, there's a history to the park, though.
There is a great history to that, to the park, and well, not just to the park, but to how this land was settled or even discovered, because for eons, Native peoples used the savanna before white settlers used it. You know, they discovered it because it's the confluence of the Lake Superior watershed from St. Louis River to the East Savannah River. And then there's a portage, 6 miles of muddy heck that they had to slog through to get to the West Savannah River, the Prairie River, Big Sandy, and the Mississippi. So it tied together these two huge watersheds, and at a time where people were traveling by canoes, well, that made a big difference around here.
And why did you come here to work? You had an interesting story there.
Well, it was kind of, I think I described it maybe as a circle of affordability.
Yes,
it kept getting wider and wider. We were in the cities, and that circle kept getting wider. How can we, you know, where can we afford to land? And, well, it happened to be in Aiken County, at the outer reaches of that circle, yeah.
Well, you go far enough, you can afford to live there. And,
yeah.
Here in Aiken County, you don't have... sky-rise rents here, so.
And it was a good place to land. You know, obviously, I enjoy my work, and I enjoy the peace and quiet.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of solitude out here, and with solitude comes a lot of room, really, to grow.
Yeah, and you were...
I think that's a big deal.
You're also a poet, and this was interesting. What inspires you to write?
Along a similar vein, that time to and solitude to grow. I mean, that inspires poetry as well as, you know, maybe a little bit of boredom.
Yeah.
Kind of
some long nights in the bog.
You have time to process.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Well, you've written a poem for us tonight.
I have. This is the shortened version.
Okay.
When the days run together like one big weekend and everyone runs around yanking on the chain of life, when the hum and the thrum of every convenience ceases except one, when silence would be golden except for your neighbor, who, I say who, doesn't love a park ranger?
Robert Devney. A ranger himself out at Savannah Portage State Park, Robert Devney. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Welcome back, Porcupine Creek.
Well, I was born in 99. Now finally reached that sacred time. Certain age that is so sweet. When I get to take the driver's seat. Well, my neighbor on the worn out truck sat 2 years down on his one knee, handed me the keys, said, "Sorry for doing it." That old green Ford, not too high class. Off. He crossed at the dead box. hotter time and now. Chainsaw exhaust and cheap motel. Roll down the window, check down. Drove away and didn't look back. Well, that old green Ford, not too high class, broke down and thought her time had passed. Well, at 95, it's working past and didn't
Porcupine Creek. We'll have them out, talk to them a little later. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. We are live from Larson's Barn. In every show, we learn a little bit more about the community hosting us for the broadcast. It might seem like we're in a barn in the middle of nowhere, and well, actually, we are. We are in a barn in the middle of nowhere, but we're in a part of something much bigger, the greater metropolitan area of the big city of McGregor, Minnesota, population 376. McGregor has a school, a post office, a Dairy Queen, a subway, small local businesses, easy access to roads and rails that traverse the mighty continent. Today, we're trying something new on the Great Northern Radio Show. It's the Great Northern Quiz Show. And so joining us now on stage is one of our alumni, our old friends, Eric Okoda, all the way back from Chicago, with roots here, family roots here in McGregor.
I do.
Yes. And Erica, what we are going to be doing this quiz show with members of our cast here. What's the big prize that people will be competing for?
Okay, this is the first time that this prize has ever been offered in anything, so I think it's pretty special.
Yeah.
It's actually Aaron Brown's voice will be your voicemail.
Yeah.
Because the contestants are playing so for somebody in the audience.
A bland Midwestern voice that you sounds like probably a lot of people you know. Maybe even the person who wins would be the voice on your voicemail.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
I don't know. It's just, you know, I'd
love that prize.
Would you?
Yeah. I mean, why don't you give us a sample?
Okay. hi, you've reached the name of the people you're trying to call. I'm Aaron Brown, a person you might have heard of. Probably not, though, if I'm being totally fair. And so you reach them, and if you wanted to leave them a message, you could. I won't hear it because I'm not there all the time. I'm just here now. But you could leave that message, and I would then, I would go away. I wouldn't even be a part of this. And then you would talk to the people. They would call you back, whoever they are. Beep.
I would leave a message after hearing that.
All right, absolutely. Good deal. Well, joining us on stage is our panel, and of course, they're going to be competing for people here in the studio audience. So first up from the players, welcome Louisa Skorich.
Hi.
Hello. Louisa, who are you competing for?
Tonight, I am competing for Keith Holton.
All right, Keith will be our contestant.
We got this.
You got this. Next, also from the Great Northern Players, it's Sarah Breeze.
Hello, hello, hello.
Sarah, who are you playing for?
Oh, I am playing for Nancy Okoda.
All right.
All right, Nancy.
Okay, so then we have another cast member, CJ Anderson. CJ, who is your contestant?
Well, actually, I'm playing for Stacy Lynn Smith.
All right. Cool. And finally, he was just on the show moments ago. He's from right here in Aiken County, Robert Jevney.
I'm back.
He's back. Robert, who are you playing for?
Bill Watson in the audience.
There
hey, Bill.
He is.
Hey, Bill. Brandon.
Okay.
Bill Watson.
All right, Bill.
So these are questions that might be easy to some of the audience members because you would know the answers, but some of these folks maybe don't know the answers. So we're going to see how much they know about the community around here. So the first question is to, and the winner is the winner, their person is the winner. I've been over this. So first up we have Louisa. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Which of the following has occurred in this very barn in recent history?
Ooh.
Okay, so one of these things.
Okay.
A, fish fry festival. B, polka dance. C, corn on the cob eating contest. Or D, all of the above.
Well, that's really high. It doesn't really smell like fish in here anymore.
No.
I'm gonna say all of the above.
All of the above, the fish, the polka, and the corn on the cob. Yeah. Erica, Quizmaster, what is the result?
Final answer?
That's my final answer.
It is B, polka dances.
Oh. So fish fries do occur in this community frequently. In fact, there were about 20 of them last night that I could see just driving around. But there has not been a recent fish fry festival here. And corn on the cob is, corn is a different time of year around here. So I'm afraid, thank you, Louisa. Nice try.
No.
But it's okay. It's okay. So next year, the governor's, this is Sarah, this is your question.
Oh, yes. I am here.
All right.
As I say to my students when they come in my classroom, I'm here, let the day begin.
There you go. The governor's fishing opener will be held in McGregor.
I had a boyfriend whose name was Governor. Now, it wasn't G-O-V-E-R-N-O-R. It was G-U-V-N-E-R.
Governor.
And that's the truth. In Woonsocket, South Dakota. Although he was from Letcher, so I was dating an out-of-town boy. But we used to make out in the back of my dad's theater, which was called The Rex.
Could you stop using your thumb to point back at me?
Sorry. It wasn't Jason. It was Governor.
Was Governor a good-looking guy?
That's what I know about a governor.
I voted for him.
Yeah, did you?
Was Governor a good-looking guy?
You know what? I don't remember. Yeah. I know I kissed him in the back of my dad's theater, but I don't remember what he looked like. I think I was just trying to be a naughty Catholic schoolgirl. Get on with the question.
So the governor's fishing opener, the governor of the state of Minnesota.
Fishing opener,
will be held in McGregor next year. Where will it be?
Rat Lake.
Maybe, but
is there a multiple choice?
Yes, multiple choice, Sarah.
Sorry.
A, the community center.
Community
B,
center.
B, Sathers.
You can't fish in a community center. That's crazy. Who ever heard of that? Keep going.
Sathers is the second option. B.
Sadler.
C, Big Sandy Resort.
Big Sandy, that's
or D,
good.
Larson's Barn.
Big Sandy Resort, I'm saying.
Okay, Erica?
That is correct.
All right. Woo-hoo-hoo! All right.
Sarah gets
Nancy,
the question right.
Nancy, lucky you.
All right, third up we have CJ. Robert? No, CJ. It's CJ is next. CJ, McGregor has an annual corn feed that is held every Labor Day weekend. It includes all-you-can-eat corn on the cob for patrons, games for kids, beer and pop tents, raffles, usually some form of live entertainment. The purpose of the event is what? A, celebrate the labor behind husking what seems like limitless ears of corn at the end of the summer season. B, reminisce when the founding citizens of McGregor only had corn to eat before the first 6 months before hunting season started. C, to raise money for the Lions Club and the local high school's athletics. Or D, it's Labor Day weekend. Everybody eats corn anyway. We may as well do it together, even though it makes us feel uncomfortable.
You know, I think feeling uncomfortable is a major part of this community. So I'm gonna go with the last one there, Aaron.
All right, Erica?
It is actually C, to raise money for the Lions Club and the local high school athletics.
Do they have a corn eating contest for that?
dessert corn eating contest. Well, I think I personally view life as a corn eating contest. Okay. And I'm winning.
Nice. Can I just add that this is hay country?
Oh.
It is.
Hey! Hey.
It is. Hey, yeah, you know what? My mom, when I was growing up, would tell me that there's bales of hay. I grew up in Cherry, which is hay. It's just like down here. Hey. And there's these hay bales on the side of the road. And every day we would drive around, and my mom would tell us kids, every day the hay bales get a little closer to the road. And one day when they're really close, they might jump out and get you. I remember this is an early childhood memory. Robert, are you ready for your question?
I think I'm hoping that I'm the ringer tonight. Yes.
I don't know.
Since I've lived around
only
here.
Only the quizmaster knows. One of the games you used to be able to find at the corn feed was Jacob's Ladder. And why can't you find it anymore? Now, this is a multiple choice. These are the reasons you can't find Jacob's Ladder at the Corn Fest.
I was thinking it went straight to hell.
I don't know. Oh, that's like you're thinking of something else. Yeah, the highway. That's a highway, actually.
Oh.
A, someone broke their arm. B, the Lions Club wasn't making enough profit. C, Jacob moved and brought his ladder with him. Or D, one of the 612ers couldn't reach the top and paid to have it removed.
Someone fell off.
Someone fell off is your answer. Quizmaster Erica?
Are you referring to one of the reasons then? So maybe A?
A. Yeah.
A?
Yeah.
A?
A. Or that B, is, maybe?
A, that's correct, don't you know?
Oh! So after the questions are over, we have, I believe, a tie, right?
We do have a tie.
Between Robert, your contestant, who was who?
Bill Watson.
Bill Watson and who? And Sarah?
Nancy Cota.
All right, congratulations to Bill and Nancy for your victory. Thank you so much.
Congratulations to the people who don't have to put up with that prize.
And also the rest of the audience who are the real winners. Thank you. Erica Cota, thanks for helping us out, Erica. All right, this is the Great Northern Radio Show. Now, to tell even more about McGregor, it's our local boy, Timmy House. Please, Timmy, tell us about McGregor.
Well, I grew up here. And I wrote this next song. It's called McGregor, a friend of mine. I never meant to play this out for anyone, but we were in a songwriting circle one night, and I played it for a buddy of mine, and he said, I got to rework some of that. And my friend of mine named Charlie Roth. And it turned out to be this kind of pub anthem. So I'm going to need a little bit of audience participation. Song goes like this. I say, raise up your glass, McGregor, and pretend you're hoisting a big pint. And you guys say, McGregor!
McGregor!
I say a toast to you and to yours, and you say, up yours!
Up yours!
Perfect, you got it. Let's tune up together, shall we? Sing with me. So. Oh, we gotta do better than that. So. Oh, that's pretty good right there. So raise up your glass, McGregor. So I toast to you and to yours. And to the ears of our youth. Unspoken truths, and you are not to fight anymore. I once fell in love in McGregor to a lass with fair blonde hair. For she was a Kelly, and my heart turned to jelly. We made a piss poor pair. So raise up your glass, McGregor. A toast to you and to yours. Unspoken truths, and to our not to fight anymore. Well, you know, a pint of beer in McGregor is oftentimes put to good use. Or we'll drink together in all kinds of weather. We don't even need an excuse. So raise up your glass, McGregor.
and yours. And the years of our youth, unspoken truth sent you our lads a fight in the war. Well, here's to my friends in McGregor, to the best could be. For they drink like the fish, and their wives only wish they could bend them down over their knees. So raise up your glass, McGregor, to my toast to you and yours. And the years of our youth, unspoken truths, and to our lots of fights in the war.
Well, I grew up in this little tiny town about 5 miles from here, called McGregor.
Where I lived with me mum and me dad. Where I started out good until sporting some wood, well, I turned out incredibly bad. So raise up your glass to McGregor. So I toast to you and yours. And the years of our youth and unspoken truth. And to our lads of fight in the war. Oh.
Timmy Howe. Welcome back. This is the second hour of the Great Northern Radio Show, broadcasting live from Larson's Barn in beautiful Aiken County, Minnesota. Yes, you heard that right. We are making real radio in a real barn. You are tuned to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, Aiken County and the Iron Range, 90.5 KBXE Bagley and Bemidji, 89.9 FM Brainerd, Baxter and Fort Ripley, and 103.9 FM Ely. We stream live all over the world at KAXE.com. O-R-G. The Great Northern Radio Show is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, the Blandin Foundation, the IRRB Arts and Tourism Grant Program, and the Sheila Holton Memorial Fund. Now, I'm Aaron Brown. I'm your host tonight. Welcome back to our show. We sure appreciate you being here at Larson's Barn. Now, this might be public radio, but it wouldn't be a barn show if we didn't have a square dance. So even though it's outside of our normal format, let's say hello to the callers and do-si-do our way into the second hour.
Now bow to your partner, bow to your corner, step those feet and around you go.
Right and left around the ring while the roosters crow and the birdies sing.
Get on up that big divide, twirl that gal side by side.
My father was a cab driver in Chicago. He never taught me how to dance.
What was that like for you, knowing that your father worked to provide for you in a way that also created emotional distance?
It was hard, you know. I grew up in the Reagan years, and it was like there was a Cold War right there in our cramped two-bedroom apartment.
We've got a caller on the line. Not a square dance caller, but Richard from College Station, Pennsylvania.
Pippa, Junkfleet, thanks for taking my call. I did some graduate research on dancing as it relates to paternal relationships. And the data shows that fathers who don't dance with their daughters are, in fact, governed by fear. The dialectical pressure within the relationship is so great that 45% develop ulcers, 58% develop depression, and 88% become the subject of bad college writing. In fact...
Let me stop you there, Richard. Let me remind our listeners that this is, in fact, a square dance, even though it is on public radio.
Oh. I just wish Daddy would have danced with me. I'm so self-conscious on the dance floor now.
Well, I'll dance with you, Pipper Morgan Wong.
Would you, Junkfleet Jorvik Garcia?
Thank you.
Now tune in low on the FM dial. Public radio, dance a while.
My daddy issues are at bay. I met a man with an MFA.
This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. And yes, we're still broadcasting on Northern Community Radio live from Larson's Barn. That was the public radio square dance. There we go. Needed an escape pod from that song, apparently. Needed a parachute. I gotta get out of here. All right. We're live at Larson's Barn in McGregor, Minnesota. Welcome back to our stage. He was a big hit just about a minute ago. Here's Timmy House.
Time, stop me on a dime. I never saw anything more divine than the way you looked at me last night. I took a chance after a second glance, and then a smile with a spark of romance in a way. The way you looked at me last night. There ain't no kind of words, no kind of picture. When I held her hand, or even when I kissed her, no reason why, no explanation. But I'd like to tell the world about my jubilation. In a way last night, the way you looked at me last night, the way you looked at me last remakes of Mrs. and Misters. No reason why, no explanation. But I'd like to tell the world about my jubilation. In a way you looked at me last night.
This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. We're broadcasting live from Larson's Barn, McGregor, Minnesota, and we're joined on stage by a volunteer from Northern Community Radio, a friend of the show, originally from the McGregor area. She's a Merc. Here's Diamond Nispel.
Woo!
Hi. All right. Hi, Diamond.
I cheered for myself there.
Now, Diamond, you're an artist. You're what I would describe as an all-around interesting person, and I mean that in the good way, not the Minnesota passive-aggressive way.
I know. We talked about that earlier. I was a little nervous.
You're okay. You're good. Thumbs up. Very, very interesting in a good way. Last year, you surprised a lot of us. I was really fascinated. You lived for about 8 months and...
5 days.
5 days
eight
on the road.
Yeah.
On the road.
On a motorcycle.
On a motorcycle.
I didn't live on the motorcycle, well, but sometimes I lived beside the motorcycle in a tent and stuff.
Yeah, right. That's
but I
kind
rode
of what
on
I mean.
The motorcycle.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, figuratively speaking.
Yeah.
And so you, now, people here in the audience can see this, but Diamond, you do not look like a stereotypical biker.
Yeah, I'm about 5'3" of an inch there.
We'll give you those. All right.
Yeah. No, when I have my boots on, I'm about 5'1".
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're
everybody brings that up, so I thought I would just.
Yeah, you're
it
not
out
one of these
yeah.
burly motorcycle people.
I'm not a burly Harley riding man. No.
Yes, you are. No. You are pretty much the exact opposite of that.
Kinda.
Yeah.
I do have short hair though.
That's true.
Yeah.
So you're on the road on the motorcycle, and what inspired you to take this trip, to take that chance?
Well, many things, but mainly I've always wanted to ride a horse. And I can't afford a horse, so I bought a motorcycle. And then I always wanted to be a cowboy with my horse out west, so I decided to be a cowgirl on a motorcycle out west.
And go out west.
Yeah.
The more affordable option for the kids listening at home.
Now we all know.
No, moms and dads sense. Just...
I'm with you. I'm
moms and dads...
Nikolai, you know. You
yeah,
know.
All right. Moms yeah. and dads are sweating out there.
No. Don't. Horses are safer, guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Bicycles.
How did you prepare for this motorcycle trip?
Well, I bought a lot of gear,
uh-huh.
And that was a good amount. I actually started out buying one motorcycle. It was too small, so I bought a different motorcycle, and then I bought a bunch of gear. So I started out sort of broke, and I started out by asking people, a lot of people, like friends who are motorcycle buddies, not really the burly kind, but more like the BMW riding kind, about advice about what they had for traveling, and that was pretty cool. So then I got like a lot of cool advice. I started reading some books and watching some movies. I started Zen in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, but I didn't finish it before I started on the trip. It's a big book.
There's a lot to read.
There's a lot to read there.
So... all of this time you spent really all over the country.
Yeah.
What, any close calls, any stories of adversity to tell us here?
There were a lot of close calls, but and there was a lot of adversity, which is pretty cool. But in particular, I was, speaking of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, he writes about Red Lodge, Montana in there, and I was riding to it. I was like, whoa, I read about this in a book. This is so cool. So excited. And there was clear skies and good weather. I'd read all about it. And then I started to get there, and I was about half an hour out, and then, like, these big clouds came, and there was, like, this big thunder clapping, and I'm not wearing any rain gear, so I was knew I was in for it. And then rain hit, and lightning hit, and I was cold, and I didn't have any rain gear on, and I was like, I'm only 15 minutes out. And then it, like, completely soaked me, and it was like a big, big old rainstorm. And then I didn't know what to do, and I was like, I have wet gear. I can't camp in this. So that was... pretty big adversity. So I stopped at a cafe, and I went inside for something warm, like tea or something. I was very poor at the time because I spent all my money on gear. And I went in, and I ordered the cheapest tea and the cheapest soup. And the lady asked me why I was all wet, and I told her, well, because I just rode through a rainstorm on my motorcycle. And she thought that was so cool. So she asked me all about myself. And turns out she was from Minnesota, too. And her name was Rosemary, and she used to be a director in this state. And then she decided she was going to move to Red Lodge, Montana, because she thought it was gorgeous, and get a little cabin out in the woods with a composting toilet and just live life. And she invited me out to live at her place for the night because she didn't think I should go camping in that. And that was pretty cool.
So
adversity overcome. I befriended a waitress, and I got a place to stay that night.
And that's one of the interesting...
moral of the story.
Yeah, the one of the interesting things about your story is that you met all kinds of different people all over the country. And generally speaking, everyone was pretty nice to you.
Yeah, it's amazing how nice people are. There was one time where somebody on the street yelled some negative stuff at me as I was on my bike. But that was about it. And people are so nice. And that wasn't the first time that I got offered a random place to stay by some kind stranger. And I met some great people by, like... just going along with it, not being really that scared of random strangers offering me a place to sleep. It was really cool.
Awesome.
Did
all
you
right.
end up on a episode of Law & Order?
No, actually. No. Everybody warned me that would happen, but it didn't. Not even
nice.
When I got like to all the scary places.
All right. Well, Diamond Nispel, thank you for your story, and we'll hear you on the radio, Northern Community Radio.
You'll hear me on the radio.
All right. Take care. Here's a story about a motorcycle. Here's Porcupine Creek.
Every day he rides by about a quarter to nine on his modern horse like a shiny knight. His handlebars sweep and his feel the heat. So I let my hair down and dream big dreams. My destiny bound to make my mama weep. Two wheels and the open run. I'm ready to grab my bag and go. To feel the wind.
Pine Creek.
Thank you.
Well, this is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown, and we're live at Larson's Barn in McGregor. It's a seasonal time. It's hunting season. It's holiday season. And all of these things, all of these holidays seem to come together. Thanksgiving is first, then Hanukkah. And then, of course, Christmas and New Year's, and they all come together for people to celebrate what matters most. Of course, families can't agree on what that thing that matters most might be. That's kind of the problem. Some say food, you know, some would say kids. And there's an uncle talking about Bernie Sanders, another guy talking about Jeb Bush. You know, it's hard to get people to agree. Priorities in life range from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the procurement of a 24-pack of Mick Golden Light. People can't agree. And the liquor store closes in town, people are worried about it. And families all over the land will argue these points and leave with minds relatively unchanged by the squabbling. Nevertheless, they will be together for those holidays. They'll be together, and that's what matters most, especially according to family members with the least amount of time left to live. They seem to care about this the absolute most, and there's a wise lesson there, I think, that is easy to ignore if you're young enough to still think your time matters more than that of other people's time. Every member of a family is like one end of a magnet. Some of us are drawn toward home. Well, others of us, of course, are repelled. And yet there's not much that one can do about that except eat mashed potatoes and be ourselves, because what else could we be? Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday because of its simplicity. Halloween and Christmas prevent it from being exploited by marketing professionals. It's about giving thanks for what we have and then eating most of it. For some, Thanksgiving guarantees a long weekend. For others, it guarantees good reheats in the lunchbox at work. And thank you, Grandma. Thank you, Grandpa. Thank you, gravy in a Gladware container. Holidays are the truth. If you've gained 20 pounds, spent time in a treatment facility, broken up with your boyfriend, or if your cute kid grew up to be weird, it's all going to come out in November or December. In fact, there's a good chance all of that is going to happen in November or December. And why wouldn't it? The holidays are a time for joy and peace, which we observe by huffing pure stress from a coffee can bong, packing our schedules with shopping, parties, and decorating, screaming at store clerks and threatening divorce over the use of a crystal salad bowl to eat leftover green bean casserole with a ladle, because no one has done the dishes since Tuesday. And yet we do it again, time and again. Everyone I know who likes the holidays seems to have one thing in common. They've got something to do and something to give. Never mind the rest. Never mind the noise, the hurt, or the loss. Do something. Give something. Slide down an icy hill with a kid. Give that kid a present. Surprise someone. Bake cookies. Eat them. Then bake more cookies and give those ones away. And if you are alone, if you are utterly alone with no one to talk to and nowhere to go, if the night is dark and the air too cold to breathe, put on a coat. Put on a scarf. Go find one more person just like you. You don't know it, but they're out there. Give them your time. Give them a song, a joke, or a meal. Quickly home becomes wherever you are and wherever you always will be. You will always have a family, and everything you want will be something you already have. Have a happy holiday season from the Great Northern Radio Show. Porcupine Creek. Porcupine Creek. Thanks. Now, Sarah Berkland, hello.
Hello? Oh, there she is.
We've been working together, getting you guys ready to come here today,
yep.
And I really love your band. I think people at home need to know how old you guys are.
Well, Ben over here on the guitar is 17. I'm 16. My brother Derek on the mandolin is 17. Holger is 16. Dulcie is 14, and Jake is 19.
So, and I'm 35. And they laugh. See, that's the difference. All right.
You still can't play the mandolin.
And I still can't play the mandolin. So, Sarah, you guys have a really cool story of how you came together. Maybe you could tell us about that.
Yeah, so we met in March of 2012 at a bluegrass festival down in Plymouth, Minnesota. And our dads knew each other through a mutual friend. And so we all ran into each other down at the festival, and we started jamming, and we played together that whole weekend. And at the end of the weekend, we decided we should form a band.
And here you are, Porcupine Creek.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you've got a cool song. Yeah. You got a cool song for us. What are you going to play for us?
Yeah, this next one we're going to do is an instrumental called Jacqueline. It's by Greg Cahill. He plays banjo with Special Consensus, and this is a really cool song that he wrote, and we really wanted to learn it, and we couldn't find any videos on YouTube and stuff because it's a really tough song to play on the banjo, and so, you know, it would have been really helpful to have a video, but there was none on YouTube. So Derek and I were down in Branson, Missouri, at the Bluegrass Festival that they had down there. And Greg Cahill was actually playing there with his band. So after their set, I went up and asked him if he would let me video the song, and he did. So that was pretty cool, and then we learned the song, so.
Awesome, let's hear it.
Alrighty.
That's Porcupine Creek. They got an album out. It's called Monster Truck. So check that out, Porcupine Creek. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. We're broadcasting live from Larson's Barn outside McGregor, Minnesota. It's time for another new folktale from Teague Alexi with the help of the Great Northern Radio players and his brother Ian on guitar.
I am here to tell a tale and help the wise and otherwise understand that the wisest man ever to walk on land was old King Joe Colley. Don Von Braun from a faraway land had squeezed many a wise man's neck with his strong and mighty hands. He marched on Colley's kingdom, intent to make it his own, and found only a note on King Joe Colley's throne.
Gold is for the color of my kingdom, green for the color of the land, red is for the blood of my people. May it never spill while entrusted in these my humble hands. Sincerely, King Joe Colley.
So Don Von Braun made himself at home, resting his feet on the king's table while sitting on the king's throne. He filled the king's cups with the king's fine wines and had the royal marking placed on his head. That was common in those times. He mused,
maybe King Colley is as wise as they have said, for had he not fled, I would surely have his head.
And there was not a thing the townspeople could do when Von Braun proclaimed the new colors of the kingdom, gray and blue. So the new flag flew with its ho-hum hue high above the impostor and his crown. The only glimpse of light or hope was in the eyes of those who spoke of a new entertainer in town. Von Braun decided to see for himself and found a juggler on the street, wearing a fool's headdress and a dimwit's beard that grew halfway to his feet. He was juggling bright balls of red, gold, and green, tosses and tricks the likes of which Von Braun had never seen.
I am an entertainer, and we need entertainers in this world as we need doctors and teachers, the laughter of little girls. We need things to think about, things to make us smile and lighten our burdens for just a little while. If I make your day a bit brighter than it's been, pay the favor forward, drop a nickel in my tin. If your belly and pockets are empty, take my performance as gift. Tell me your troubles, my friends, and we can share my tips.
The juggler collected a modest dime, and Von Braun hollered, good show.
Good show, but what is the meaning of the old kingdom's colors?
He demanded to know.
Pardon me, Your Highness, for not throwing the gray and the blue. These are not meant as colors of any man-made kingdom, old or new. I need bright balls against these black and deep skies. One cannot catch what one cannot see, no matter how hard one tries.
Sensing himself a victim of the juggler's wit, Von Braun felt a hint of shame. He had no interest in this vagabond's simple mind games. Von Braun disliked jesters, jokers, and jugheads from way back. The knowing juggler smiled and returned his needle to the haystack.
Yours are a wise king's feet to leave the palace and walk the street, minding the concerns of the people. Your Majesty writes a king's story, one of triumph and glory. Ignoring the people spells tragedy.
Since your cowardly King Colley has fled to a faraway land and my ploy to Purge's palace proceeding exactly as planned. With good men guarding the palace and my best men chasing Kali down, I nobly proclaim this juggler to perform on behalf of the crown.
With all due respect, Your Majesty, I prefer a crowd of the common man to performing for the fortunate at royalty's command. I am a true artist. Only compromise, I fear. My act has no strings attached. I need no puppeteer.
Now, Von Braun had killed for less disrespectful behavior, but he sensed an opportunity to win the people's good favor.
You will not have to change your act or the color of your juggling balls, and are as welcome to perform in the streets as within my castle walls.
The strongest storm of the season accompanied the juggler as he approached the gates. With a gift of white poppy flowers for his host, the guard announced,
"The king awaits!"
Boastful, brazen, and loose-lipped, Von Braun said,
"It's not that I care for your entertaining. It's that, while you perform, the people stop complaining, always crying for me to fill their bellies up."
The juggler rubbed a familiar thumb along the side of the royal cup.
"If I may propose a toast, here's to keeping our enemies closer than the friends that we keep close."
Von Braun added mindlessly,
"May nothing exceed like excess."
And eagerly threw back his head to have another drink with his guest. And with the speed of an ace magician or sorcerer at his best, the juggler yielded a sword and stuck it through Don Von Braun's breast. And the juggler's headdress fell slowly. Von Braun's eyes filled with dread, discovering two in the room with the royal marking upon their head. "By gosh, by golly, by all things wise, if that wasn't old King Joe Colley in a juggler's disguise." And as Von Braun lies still on this, his final night, dark clouds cleared, the stars again were bright. The words of King Joe Colley echoed through the streets. The kingdom's true colors danced in the moonlight.
"Gold is for the theft of my kingdom. Green for the neglect of the land. Red is for your wicked blood. May it be the last to stain these, my humble hands."
Teague Alexi. With help from the Great Northern Radio players, Nikolai Koivunen on piano, his brother Ian Alexi on guitar. The book is The New Folklore, Lyrical Tales for Thinkers and Dreamers. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. I'm broadcasting live from Larson's Barn in McGregor, Minnesota. We all know the holidays are coming, and that means one thing, cooking a turkey. There are plenty of shows out there that will tell you how to cook a turkey, but tonight we're going to carve out a niche by showing you how to cook a turkey that you know personally.
Cooking now, things that have names.
Nice. There it is. First, here's the first tip. Lure the turkey to a private locale, such as your kitchen, under the guise of friendship.
"Helga, she's here. Get the door, yeah."
"Now remember, Olga, she must not suspect anything."
"Oh, come here. Hello, sir. sweetie pie.
Oh, Gobbledeen, we're so glad you're here.
Olga, Helga, my old friends, how are you?
Oh, we're wonderful, darling, just wonderful.
Here, have a seat at the kitchen table.
Oh, it's hot in here. Have you been cooking today?
Not yet, but soon.
I have a chill in my old bones. I like to keep my house warm.
Tell me about it. My bones are hollow, you know, because I'm a bird.
Tell me, dearie, are you hungry?
Oh, I'm famished.
Good, good. We'll fatten you up then.
Olga.
I mean, we'll give you something to eat.
Olga, we'll be happy to serve a little lunch. Here, we've prepared this specially for you.
Yes, eat.
Ooh, thank you. Is this stuffing?
Oh.
It's a plate heaped with stuffing. How unusual.
Well, it's one of our favorite snacks. See, we eat it too.
Oh, enjoy the food, Gobbledeen. And while you're eating, let me ask, what's your favorite kind of wine?
Oh, I love white Zinfandel. Well, do you have any?
Oh, no, but we'll make a note of that for tomorrow, right, Olga?
Yeah, tomorrow.
You're making quick work of that stuffing, dear. That's what we like to see.
Oh, it's delicious. I don't think I could swallow another bite.
Good. Perhaps you feel like taking a little nap? No, we just bought a new blue enamelware bed for you to take a little nap in. As you can see, it's just your size.
Oh, yes, take a load off, Gobbledeen.
Funny, that looks more like a roasting pan.
Oh, that's just the style, dear. You can't account for style.
Okay. Tell me, ladies, is that a turkey baster sitting over there?
That's nothing.
We thought we'd leave that out just to, see where the party goes. You know, keep an open mind about the turkey baster. It's nothing, really.
Olga, Helga, are you trying to cook me?
Oh, Gobbledeen, I can't believe you'd think a thing like that.
No, I, for one, am very disappointed. Never.
It's just the stuffing, the roasting pan, the baster. It seems suspicious.
To think that we would use our friendship to trap you in our kitchen and eat you. I mean, to form an elaborate relationship with the turkey just to save a few bucks on a holiday meal. Oh, that would be sick.
Sick.
You're right. I'm sorry. When you're a turkey, this time of year, it's very stressful. Not everyone tells you the truth.
that's okay, dear. We understand. Telling the truth is very important.
We're friends, so I don't mind saying that Helga... I'm worried about you. Well, it seems like you've gained a lot of weight since we met. If you'd like, I could show you how to stay lean like me with an all-seed diet.
This bird's going in the oven.
Get her!
Friendship is more important than food.
Step 2. Try again. This time with a dumber bird. Just remember, there's more than one way to prepare a turkey for the holidays. You're listening to the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Welcome back, Porcupine Creek.
New Mexico ain't bad, Lord. People here, they'll treat you kind. New Mexico ain't bad, Lord. People here, they'll treat you kind. Oh, I pray, lighter, won't you steal away my mind?
Pine Creek. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. We are broadcasting live from Larson's Barn in McGregor, Minnesota. We are in the home stretch of our program, but must acknowledge that today was the Minnesota Rifle Deer Hunters opener. The sun, of course, has now set, and the hunters have perhaps returned to their shacks or trailers, and I'm sure maybe a few of them might have switched on their radios to listen to us tonight. Hi, folks. I hope you bagged that buck. If you didn't, enjoy the fact that you're inside eating beef jerky and listening to the radio and not gutting a deer in the cold. In honor of the occasion, we now present the forecast. Now, not the weather forecast, the deer camp forecast. Tonight, you can expect moderate drinking with a chance of a few pop-up arguments. There's a right front on the move in the form of Uncle Bob. And he's expected to collide with the left front in the form of your cousin Barry, who came up from Minneapolis. And that could produce a few political thunderstorms, but it should all blow over by midnight. Through the overnight, we expect heavy snoring. Cast snoring, giving way to a bunch of crows at about 4:30 a.m. Heading out to the stands tomorrow morning, expect a 50% chance of stepping into a puddle and getting your socks wet. That's going to pretty well suck for most of you until lunch. Heavy coffee will form in the bladders up in the stands, leading to a 100% chance of something like rain right below the tree stand around 10 a.m.
Watch out, Jerry.
Hey, gross!
By evening time, expect beans for dinner. That's a lot of beans. All right. The extended forecast calls for increased drinking and cheese consumption over the next 2 weeks. Our Positronics Deer Prediction Center projects that the maximum number of deer will be seen in town this weekend, eating what's left of your yard. Your family will tell you all about it when you get home. Happy hunting from all of us here at the Great Northern Radio Show. Now, we are at Larson's Barn. It's hard to be inside a barn without thinking about a farm. And for English majors and critics of 20th century communist theory, it's hard to think about a farm without thinking of George Orwell's classic 1945 novel, Animal Farm. We all know that by the end of that book, when I hope you read it in your English class, I know it was required, that the animals took over the farm could no longer distinguish the difference between the men who once oppressed them and the pigs who now ruled them. It makes you wonder what the farm would be like now. Okay. What's this?
Hello! Dimitri the pig here. Hello, radio show people.
Okay. I'm sorry. Maybe you don't understand. We're trying to do a show here, and you're a pig who just drove
No, you don't understand. This is my farm. I own. I buy farms all over USA. Made big killing in oil fields. I buy farms. I buy Toshiba. I buy Orlando Magic. For giggles, I buy Famous Dave's Barbecue. Smiling pig eating pig make me laugh. Only now, ribs are people. They're people!
I see. So, how did a pig like yourself achieve such a financial position?
Well, once Berlin electric fence come down, everything changed. Many panic, but pigs smart. Pigs create barnyard corporations. Pass legislation say that corporations are pigs, so corporations get to vote. We also privatize health insurance system.
Now, what kind of health insurance do pigs have?
When you get old, we make bacon. But we also have physician-assisted canning. Win-win.
So, was it worth it for the other animals, too? Obviously, your intelligence helped you get ahead, but what about the chickens, the cows, or that horse?
Oh, they're fine. They're fine. You should see horse. He working harder than ever. He has vote now. He vote for pig. Smart horse. I like him.
So what's next for Animal Farm now that you've made it to the 21st century?
We get Olympics. Horse will win gold medal for us, or he will turn into glue. So he better stick to the plan.
You know, the horse could run for president.
You funny. You have nice ribs. Famous Dave's ribs. You know how I say?
Yeah. Dimitri the pig from
it's
Animal
people!
Farm. The next generation. Welcome back, Porcupine Creek.
But when the sun comes up, a cloud of dust will rise. Boys, a cloud of dust will rise. I hold in my right hand. You marvel at the words I've spoken through the land. You live where the troubled soul through the night like a baby cries. And if you don't confess your sin in a cold rock grave, you'll lie. Boys, a cold rock grave, you'll lie. Been sung, no more miles to go this wild race I've run. I'll then depart from you in heaven, I'll abide. And so with the angels there, a great white cloud I'll ride. Boys, a great white cloud I'll ride.
Well, folks, we've reached the end of our program. Our show is about spreading joy, and I hope you caught some. I hope you learned something about the back roads of Aiken County, the tiny town of McGregor, and a little barn where magic still happens sometimes on a Saturday night. Most of all, I hope you learned about yourself and wake up tomorrow ready for what comes next. Just remember the most important rule of life. If whether it's a deer you can't figure, put down that beer and lay off the trigger. The Great Northern Radio Show is a production of Northern Community Radio. The show is made possible by support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, the IRRRB Arts and Tourism Grant Program, and the Blandon Foundation, and the Sheila Holton Memorial Fund. Find our podcast at our website at kaxe.org. The show is produced, written, and hosted by me. I'm Aaron Brown. My fellow producers are Heidi Holton and Tammy Lebowski. Our stage manager is Sarah Bignall. Additional material and production assistance from our own Erica Coda. Broadcast audio production by Dan Howe, Chris Juleson, and Chad Hotfed. Chris Juleson does our post-production as well, thanks to our Grant Met writer and general manager, Maggie Montgomery, and the staff of Northern Community Radio. We can't forget Nancy Larson, all the folks who helped us here at Larson's Barn, which is available for your next wedding or special event. Find out more at larsonsbarn.com. Thanks to our musical guests, the Hobo Nephews of Uncle Frank, Porcupine Creek, and our local boy, Timmy House. Our house keyboard player is Nikolai Koivunen. The Great Northern Radio players tonight include C.J. Anderson, Lauren Nickish, on sound effects, Sarah Breeze, Jason Skorich, Louisa Skorich, Robert Jevney. Thanks to our guests, Kathy Larson, Diamond Nispo, and Robert Jevney as well. Our next show will be in conjunction with the Laskiainen Finnish Sliding Festival in Palo on Saturday, February 6th. Our broadcast will be live from the Mesabi East High School Auditorium in Aurora, Minnesota. Get your tickets now at kaxe.org. Thanks for listening to the Great Northern Radio Show. Thank you, McGregor and Aiken County. Thank you all, and good night. One more from the Hobo Nephews of Uncle Frank.
You're tired of your place and you're ready to up and leave. Step right up, get on board, watch the engine steam. Get your family and your friends, or a girl that looks so fine. Put your arm around her waist, we're going down the line, 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 we're going down the line. Well, I don't know what I was told, my thoughts become benign. sometimes I think that all I've done was just a waste of time. I sit around and fret about what is or is not mine, till I put my hands upon the wheel. Now I'm going down the line, down the line, down the line, down the line, yeah. Down the line, down the line, we're going down the line. We have such a sweet thing standing there with sadness in your eyes. You've got the blues because you lose your lovers all the time. But don't you see you're trapped inside a cage of your design? Turn the key, unlock the door, we're going down the line, down the line. All the truth without resign. You might not like the way it sounds, could even make you cry, but it'll set you free, my friend. Your shackles will decline. Now you're free, so come with me. We're going down the line, down the line, down the line, down the line, yeah. Down the line, down the line, we're going down. Down the line.